Perfect.
Stuff
Yeah.
like that. So yeah, when I introduce you, just give a brief explanation. Explanation? Ex ex a brief Can one of you help me?
Nope.
You all ready?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a shame. Hello everybody and welcome to the Clip It Podcast, episode 41. I did make sure that was correct. Now, it's weird to be back, I'm not going to lie, because I was at work the other day, just doing my own, dealing with my own business, and I was looking in a bowl of water as I was just sat in the kitchen, just minding my own business, doing nothing, and all of a sudden, it started to move, and I was flabbergasted. I realised my hand was moving up as well, and so I parted my hands, and the water parted. It was genuinely magical. I am Moses himself, Tactical TV, and I'm joined by my wonderful hosts, Agent Oink.
Hello.
And Delicious.
One day those will make sense.
And our very special guest, a very, very wonderful, beloved dad, gamer, and podcast presenter, the man, the myth, the legend, Love Mitt.
Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure having you on today.
No, I'm really, really excited. Thanks for getting us on.
Thanks for dealing with that intro. I genuinely do think about them weeks in advance, and then it falls flat every single time I do them. It's always a shame. So yeah, how's your day going?
Good. Yeah, really good. My day's been really good. Very productive, which is always nice. But I suppose obviously people want to know a little bit about me, I guess. So yeah, I am Love Mitt. People know me as Mitten, whatever, I suppose. Content creator. I started out on Mixer, and then obviously transferred over to Twitch. And then from that as well, I have started my own podcast about mental health within gaming.
Decent. Some of your fans may know I was kindly let on there to speak
exactly
about my point of view, and it was a great experience. Yep. Very professional, better than
glad
this
you
one.
Enjoyed it.
I know it was genuinely a lot of fun. And you started to put your podcasts on Spotify recently.
Yes, from the help from yourself. Thank you very much.
More than welcome. It took me a couple tries to find the best way to put it up, but
yep,
that one I
100%.
Gave you, I think, yeah, it's Spotify's official way of doing it, and you can do it
yep
on other platforms as well, so it's just quite mm-hmm convenient. And
yeah, it works well.
Spotify are allowing videos as well now, or at least I don't know if you first sign up or you have to do it for X amount of time. I don't know if you could put videos up there yet, but we
not
recently
sure
got access.
I don't think so. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, so I assume it's then if you put X amount up or you're on the platform for X amount of time, which is pretty
yeah
decent.
Yeah, I like that.
But I've been listening to your podcast. I listened to your one with Darth recently, who he's been helping me out not too long after your recommendation.
Yep.
And one with, is it Dr. Steph?
Yep, Dr.
Yes.
Steph as well, yeah.
That was certainly an interesting episode to listen through. And
She is something else. She is absolutely amazing. Super crazy, but in a really nice way.
Yes, I saw her in your chat not too long ago, and it was
yeah
fascinating just seeing some of the stuff she was saying.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But no, both great episodes. And you know what, I'm just going to go straight ahead and ask this question, because I thought it was very interesting when I was listening to the one with Darth. You have a Discord, I don't know if it's yours or you share it with someone, which is It's Only Pixels.
Yep.
And that name came out of that podcast. Was that planned, or did that genuinely
no
come out of Darth just saying that's a really nice, like a really cool name?
That was genuine. Me and Darth spoke about getting a community Discord for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of made sense that we were going to do it. So me and Darth talked about it quite recently, and then honestly someone mentioned it to me while we were playing Escape from Tarkov, which is one of my main games that I still play, And they mentioned it to me and they were like, look, it's, you know, who cares about kind of dying? It's only pixels and all that kind of stuff. And obviously that's what I mentioned it to Darth when, you know, and saying, you know, it's only pixels. And it was, he literally was like, oh my God. And he actually sent me a Discord message whilst we were still in the podcast, like saying, oh my God. And I was like, I didn't really understand. And he obviously said it out and I was like, yeah, 100%. And that was it. And then, honestly, the day after, the Monday after, it was created.
That's decent.
Darth literally created the whole thing. And so, yeah, I'm kind of, me and Darth, it's mine and Darth's, but then we do have our mods that that kind of, oh, no, they might as well be owners as well, you know?
Yeah. That's, yeah, no, I just, yeah, I was listening to that and you mentioned it and you were, your reaction was just perfect because you kind of clicked, yeah, in your head straight. I assume after he sent the messages.
Yep. Definitely.
But I didn't know if it was something you had beforehand and you wanted to mention it or it genuinely was made on the spot there and then. So
genuinely cool. Made, and it's quite random because I and as I mentioned to you when I was doing the podcast, I for me it's always just a chat. Mm. I liked it just to be a chat and not to be kind of too, the same with this, I suppose, you know, not to be too kind of regimented the way, you know, the way it's going to go. Mm. Just let it flow and that's it, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, no, because I was listening to that and it's, there was plenty of questions that you asked or he said, and I was like, damn, I wish I was talking about that on your podcast. And I was like, I could have gone another 2 hours, honestly, that if I was if I was there with Darth, it probably would have never ended. genuinely, I can't wait to hear more of them. They you know, I listen to podcasts at work. I have that luxury of being able to, luckily.
Yeah.
So are you planning on putting the rest of them on there at some point?
Yeah, so they're all going to go on. I actually put one, I put the third episode up today. It's just been having time to kind of get round and do them all, as well as doing the podcast every week, because there's still a weekly thing, so which is good, but it's yeah, it's quite tough.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, yeah. As always, I'll put all your stuff down in the description or info cards, depending on where you're listening to this from. Now, I think it's time we should get these two involved, because they're not here to look pretty.
well,
oh, thank God for that.
You're welcome. So, did you two have any questions you wanted to ask? I'll start that off by that. That was a great question.
Yeah, I'm going to drop us right in it. Okay.
What did you expect?
I don't know, to be honest.
There you go.
So I do. I have a question in case if he doesn't, I'll give you some time to think and keep delaying this as long as I can, so you've got more time. What made you want to start doing, cause as far as I understood from, I think I only saw the one with Charles so far, what made you want to do the podcast about the mental health?
So I struggled with mental health I've struggled for quite a few years, and I fully admit I had a proper breakdown, panic attack, the whole shebang, and literally I remember it to this day. I was driving along and the woman cut me up, and as she cut me up, I just kind of, now I know it was a panic attack. At the time I didn't really know what it was. And I don't remember pretty much the whole of my day at work. And then when I got home and the missus was like, you know, how was your day? I just broke down into tears. That was it. And then the day after, I went to the doctors and obviously they explained that kind of what they think was happening to me. And that was that. And, I felt, yeah, I just, and anyone that's kind of gone through any mental health kind of issues, I felt awful and I felt really alone. And ever since I kind of started talking about it to just friends and family, and then now I talk about it on my stream all the time, and mental health, and you know, I'm always very open about it, and especially being open about it as a male, I think is even more important. I had it in my head that I wanted to do something similar to a podcast for a long time, and it kind of just came out, and I spoke to Darth about it quite often, and he said, well, just do it, I'll be your first guest if you want. I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, do you know what, let's just do it. And then that was it, and Darth was the first one, and then it kind of flowed ever since then, and people have really kind of got behind it, and it's really nice. And so yeah, that's my reasoning for it. I just don't want people to ever be alone or think that they're going through you know, through it by themselves, or, you know, it's not just happening to you. There's millions of people that's happening to. So, so yeah.
That's a pretty damn good reason as reasons to always think. Awesome.
I've realised a minor mistake of actually listening to your podcast, and that's I know more about you, so I feel like I don't need to ask these questions.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. Because, yeah, you were talking about that on Steph's episode, Dr. Steph's episode, I think. I think you went into... I think you mentioned it on your first episode, actually. You went into detail.
Yeah, I mentioned it with Darfs, and then, yeah. I've brought it up a couple of times for different people, yeah.
I will give... both of I'll give Agent Link and Delicious some context, a little bit of context. Darth, as you probably both don't know, is the one helping me with the merch.
Yeah,
I would love to talk to him at some point about it, so I might have to get him on the podcast.
No, you should definitely get him on.
For you two, that's who Darth is.
Yeah, sorry.
Whoa, merch, you say?
Merch, yeah. I'm not going to say much more on that because it's still in the works.
Yeah.
But yes, no, he's been an absolute legend. Very helpful, very kind, wonderful human being from watching his streams and seeing him on your podcast.
Yep.
And he's hardworking, you know, doing the podcast. I first met him
more than hardworking
through you doing the tournament, and that.
Yep.
That must have been some hard work preparation wise, but even just doing the whole tournament, streaming it, getting everybody in and all that, just. Oh, so much maintenance, and I want to do it. I don't know why, but I want to do it. So,
yeah, the tournament's good. Yeah, and I think that's why they kind of are doing the tournament slightly kind of less, but the league's more.
Mm.
So they've started doing the league, which is just a genius idea.
Oh, definitely.
But he is. He honestly, you'll get him on because he fascinates me still because he does everything, and I mean, like, it literally seems like he's got all the time in the world, and I don't know how he does it. Like, seriously, I don't know how he does it. Like, that's... sending me pictures this morning of him playing golf, and I'm like, what? Like, you know, and yesterday he was like doing something else and something, and he's just so busy all the time. It's
fascinating. Yeah, definitely. No, we'll definitely have to get him on one day. Now, we've given Agent Oink about 5 minutes of airtime to think about a question. You can tell these are professionally planned.
We're a lot less organized, aren't we, on this podcast compared to...
Yeah, that's because this podcast is just having a chat. Yours is a topic that you go off and then you have a tangent from. And, you know, that's, you always have that main one. Well, this is just, let's have a chat. And if there's nothing to chat about, which is not very rare, especially if we have a guest on, because you've got lots to talk about or lots to say. We'll just talk about the latest in gaming, which typically most weeks is nothing. Like, I remember you tried to get some gaming news in there, mainly mental health related, in your beginning bit. And you do find some interesting stuff, I think. I can't remember my one. Damn, I feel bad now. Was it because there wasn't anything on that one?
Probably. Honest, every week it's ridiculous. I still try and do it every week, and gaming news itself is tough, but gaming news with any mental health kind of side of to it is kind of non-existent. And I've actually I've tried to actually reach out to some esports companies to like get their kind of news on mental health and things, and none of them have come back, and I'm guessing they probably don't have any anything you know in place, I suppose. I don't know, but
that's a good point. It's just they don't want to talk about it. If there is bad mental health stuff, I don't think they want to out themselves on it.
No, that's very true.
Because I don't want to put them on the spot, but Agent Oink would probably know something related to that quite well. Not even if it's like recent, but we've definitely spoken about it in the past, in the esports world, because it can be, it's like any sport, you know, it's extremely mentally straining, especially if you're losing constantly, or if you've got higher ups that want you to perform to a certain level, you know.
Yep.
So much you can only do as a human being.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Especially as in with regards to, I mean, they have you know, people come in to give them hand exercises and hand massages, and you know, especially the teams that live in houses together and things like that. Like it's insane, and you know, there is a lot. And again, I know a content creator who is a TikToker. Is that the right word? I don't know.
I think so.
And she lived in a house for a little while, and she said it was horrendous. Her mental health literally was awful, so she left. You know, so it is. You know, it must be so hard.
I guess there's a sort of certain level you feel like you have to perform to.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a house of full-on content creators, like we kind of spoke about it on your podcast that we both feel, I don't know, more. Like, I remember mentioning, I think you mentioned it as well. You kind of feel like you want to one up yourself, but sometimes you want to one up others, and like you want to say, course. Well, my content's on the same level as X or even better. Yep. And you do that as a could be self-esteem for some people, or just you're trying to up a level mentally for yourself to try and get to a point where you can say I'm as good as this content creator. So I couldn't imagine how much more elevated that is in the same household as those sort of people, you know, you're definitely. With, and also you're living with them every day, so you have to deal with that sort of shit.
Yes, exactly. Very much so.
So yeah, no, we thought, I've definitely thought about living in a content house, but I don't know if I could. Mainly money wise, living in the UK not fun. Living anywhere, to be honest, not fun. House, you know, I'm only 20, but 22, and looking for a house these days just seems like it's never going to happen. Unfortunately,
it was ridiculous when I moved up to Scotland. It was we were looking for a house, and it was just crazy. Literally crazy.
I heard Scotland wasn't the worst, but from what you're saying, it's
not
bad.
But everywhere's just gone mad. And then here in Scotland they do offers over. So they give you the price of the house, and then everyone goes offers over, and then also as well it's all sealed bids. So you never know, you know, so you can't obviously then go, oh, they've offered this, oh okay, I'll offer more. It's just you put in a sealed bid and that's it. But houses are going well. There was a house near us at the moment, and it went for nearly $100,000 over.
Jeez,
damn. I mean, who's got $100,000 cash as well?
Yeah, but it's the problem. It's all cash. A lot of these houses, but like when you bid over, a lot of people will buy them and pay over if it means they get an extra house. They've got the money. It's not like they're gonna, you know, live a year of no food if they buy it.
Yeah,
and it's just unfortunate for those who might just have enough for that house. You know,
exactly.
It's like fuck you sort of ordeal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I live in a place, well, specifically quite local to me, where the house prices aren't the worst, but income is one of the it doesn't add up. Which is quite annoying. I would love to live I don't know. I don't plan on moving away from this area or the country, to be honest. I know a lot of people that want to move country, and there are some, like, I'd love Scandinavia. Scandinavia is a place I'd love to visit. But I don't know if I could see myself moving just for family reasons. But you know, if it means it's cheaper housing, might have to.
The thing is, it's one of them things, isn't it? I always say, like, everyone says that grass, you know, grass is never greener. And I, because I lived in Italy for 10 years, and living there was amazing. But again, it was kind of, we had to move every 6 months because we did like winters and then summers.
Okay.
So we'd go like live on Lake Garda for the summer, and in the winter we'd be off in the mountains, like snowboarding and skiing. And, you know, so every 6 months you'd be moving just to kind of keep work. And it was great to start off with. But then after a while, you're like, I don't want to move. Like, every 6 months was just rough, having to then get up and try and find a different apartment. And we were lucky in the winter, we always stayed in the same place and it was fine. But then summers were tough. And then again, wanted to start a family, and thought it was going to be obviously better to start a family here where we've got people around us, a bit more support, and obviously the NHS, you know. So yeah, we came back and that was that. But we still think we'd want to live abroad at some point. Definitely go back somewhere.
It's nice to have, and you have that knowledge of what Italy's like if you were to go back there. And you got an idea of what living abroad's like anyway. So that's always a bonus. That's decent. That's good to hear.
I'm old though, so you know I've had a lot of life experience.
Yeah, I still can't. I still don't think you look a day over 28. So you saying you were in Italy a decade ago makes me.
Hey, I am the big 4-0 this year, mate.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah, I didn't expect you were out of your 30s at least. So.
Yeah. Crazy. Actually, crazy. I know, right?
You're doing well. You're doing well. Honestly.
Thank you very much.
Got a young face.
Oh, it's the beard.
All that fresh air is the beard, yeah. 100%. The big ginger beard.
That's a Twitch name right there. I'm pretty sure someone's got that already, but
big ginger beard. There's loads of people with ginger in their Switch names because of like beards and that, yeah.
I say that. The reason I say that is I do follow someone called Gingerbeard. Just subconsciously already knew that. that's decent. I love how this is a game of podcast and we always talk about housing or politics. It's just perfect. Have you thought of any questions, Agent Oink?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I've been waiting.
Okay.
You went to offer and then you end up on a tangent. It was a good tangent, but so I've only caught about half of the episode you did with Charles because I went to listen to it and then got caught up in life and definitely one of the things I struggle with my mental health is scheduling and managing to get around the things. So it's been on the back burner and it's very much stayed on the back burner and now we're here. but that's okay. So one of the things that I thought was quite interesting listening to it as a podcast that's focused on mental health within gaming is that gaming can definitely be a benefit and a good way to help, but it can also very much be a negative.
Yeah, massive.
And I thought it was really interesting that you covered that because I see a lot of people sort of on either end of the spectrum. There's either people that are sort of talking like gaming was great for me. It helped, you know, help me escape from my everyday problems and struggles. Yeah. And then you see people on the other end that are like gaming made me, you know, I completely quit because it was causing me so many problems.
Yeah.
I think it's really good to try and advertise that in the right context with the right moderation and knowing your own personal, you know, limits and situations that gaming can be a perfect solution as long as you don't let it become a problem.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I was just wondering, obviously I know that you've talked about this all on the podcast and I have, you know, say to anyone listening, check out the links and do go along. But obviously people that are listening might not have necessarily come across. So if you want to speak to that a little and your experiences with, you know, when it's been bad, when it's been good, what you know in that regard, I think it'd be really helpful for anyone listening.
Yeah, of course. It's actually a really good question. And
now you see why that's why they're here to help me.
And it is. It's really true because I really wanted to make sure the podcast wasn't one-sided. Like, and that is a massive for me because it has helped me out 100%. Like streaming, social media annoys me a little bit with this because streaming is my therapy, and it's not that streaming is my therapy. And then next minute I'm frying a controller, at the screen. It's for me. Like, and it's not always about the games. It's, for me, it's about chatting to people. And streaming while I do it is just a benefit and it's brilliant. So for me, that is definite. But I still kind of know that, and as you mentioned there, that there are people that game and then all of a sudden they think it's helping. The next minute they're going into a slippery slope of gaming addiction, and you know, then they're not looking after themselves, their mental health, their, you know, anything. Like, they're not cleaning the house, they're not, you know, washing themselves, you know, showering, the whole thing. And and I do really want people to understand that it can be either end. Yes, there is a middle ground, and I think you've got to be very careful, but it's a huge thing that I wanted to make sure that I could bring up, is that, you know, gaming can be very, very bad and very toxic for you. And you know, I've known people that are still in a gaming addiction kind of side, but they still won't even admit it. They don't stream or don't anything like that. They're just friends, and you know, they still won't admit it, and they don't look after themselves, and they have mental health issues because of it. But they just, and again, I think it's the life that we're in, of the old school kind of life of, you know, it will just go away. Or, you know, I hate the saying man up, but just people used to say just man up, you know. But yeah, for me, as I say, it is really important to make sure people do know. My sister's a psychologist, and she is very kind of anti-gaming for mental health. She thinks it's kind of bad for your mental health. But she's gone on a few courses and she can kind of see slightly different. And she sees a little bit in me, obviously. And then I'm kind of obviously the pro side of it. So it's nice that I've always got her kind of to talk to kind of get a different side of it as well. Because she sees a lot of people that game too much and obviously have issues because of that. She never sees the side of, because now there's actually games that are going to be coming out next year that are going to benefit people's mental health. So they're going to be like games specifically to help people with their mental health. It's the same with anorexia. There's a game that's coming out, or it's already come out, and it's a VR game, and it kind of helps people that are anorexic that are scared of food. And they put them into kind of a world, obviously, where they're sitting at a restaurant or at home or wherever, and then they bring a plate of whatever they don't like or they're scared of, just so they get used to kind of, okay, this is fine, you know, I can do it here, I can do it in the real world. So it is, it's really interesting that games are kind of helping and starting to develop. But yeah, I still want to massively make sure people know that it's not always the way out.
Yeah, I definitely think it's good that you mentioned that games are starting to move into that direction of designing themselves to be better as well.
Yeah,
because even small things, I think back to when Satisfactory first released, and I was playing that, and they added the little feature that every couple of hours it gives you a pop-up saying, you know, you've been playing for a mm-hmm. couple hours straight now. Go stretch your legs, get a drink, have a drink, you know. Think small things like that. And I know loads of people, when that came out, complained about it and were like, this is annoying.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I do get where they're coming from, but from my perspective, you know, it's at the end of the day, what does one notification affect when you've been sat there? You know, it's not that big an intrusion into your life. And if it means that someone's getting up, just taking a second to, you know, relax and stretch their legs, that's a good thing. Even if that's all they do, you know, it's still an improvement.
Yeah.
For me personally, with my experiences, I've definitely had bad times gaming, especially with competitive gaming, which is something that I really enjoy. I'm big into Overwatch and esports and that side of stuff.
Yeah.
So I've always really enjoyed playing it, but you know, sometimes I'll get in, I've not played so much recently because I've got a lot better with it, but historically I'd get into these, you know, long sessions of playing Overwatch for a long time every day, and I'd start to make poor decisions and my gameplay wasn't where I wanted it to be, and you know, you get into this spiral and you get into the slope, like you said, of ending up in a much worse place. And so one thing that's like really helped me personally, and obviously it's not going to work for everyone, but for some people, is that a lot of my gaming now has moved towards spending time with my friends. I don't game much single player anymore. Or, like, you know, myself in a multiplayer game. Most of the time I spent gaming is with these guys here. And for me, I think that's been a huge thing. Especially as you get less time as you get older and stuff as well. As we'll all know. I think it's a huge thing that I'd advertise for. Is I think playing games with your friends is great, because it's a great way to have escapism. And as long as you talk about mental health as well, I think another great thing that you advocate for is being communicative about it.
Yeah.
Because you can get friends that, you know, maybe struggle with different things to you or don't struggle at all, and getting people that can check you and say, actually, I don't think this is, you know, maybe we should stop now, or that's enough.
Yes.
And, you know, saying stuff like that and just being communicative, I think is great, because it can allow you to do those things in a way that doesn't then end up going past those boundaries and limits where you shouldn't really be going past, which to stop yourself in certain times can be pretty hard.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jack. You're bang on, right? You don't actually see it. It's that thing, isn't it? I don't think you ever see it until it's too late, where as you say, with friends kind of looking out for you and people, and this is why I always kind of say, you know, with Discord channels as well, I think Discord has been one of the best tools for kind of people, especially over the pandemic, for people to kind of stay in touch and contact, because again, via a text message or an email or something like that, if I'm in a really bad mood and you send me a message, I could take that in the worst way possible when you're not meaning that. Whereas if we're on a chat now, I can tell by the tone of your voice, you know, I can see by Charles's face expressions. Do you know what I mean? You've got the tools there to use. Yes, there are a lot of Discord servers out there that are toxic, and there are toxic people, don't get me wrong, but I think the tool's amazing. And it's been brilliant, I think, for people's mental health over the last 2 years for the pandemic, for, you know, more than ever, really.
I think you both hit that perfectly, actually. And to kind of add on to what you were saying, Agent Oink, is like having friends is, I know gaming, especially multiplayer, already has that social side to it, but just having your friends there, you've got that safety net of knowing who you're with. So if something does go wrong, you can always you've always got them to help you or to, you know, bring you down back onto land. And you were saying about like satisfactory. I genuinely thought you were going to go into the can't say the word, so I'm just going to say take away spiders mode.
Arachnophobia.
There we go. But you talking about the notifications, I think like even small things, you mentioned Overwatch, I think small things like in Overwatch you can turn the clock on, so you can constantly have an idea of what the time is, so you know, oh, I've been gaming for an hour, let's say, you know, you can visually see that. You don't have to alt tab up, which is just extra steps, which humans being naturally lazy, we don't want to do that. So just even small things like having the clock on the game somewhere visible or something like that, I think is just a small subconscious way of being able to keep yourself aware of what you're doing, or if you've been doing it for too long. Because I think we've all, especially when we were younger, had moments. I think my generation, I think, hit it worst when back in the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 days, where you'll be playing games. You come home from school, you're playing Call of Duty, you clock off, and you're like, oh crap, it's 1 a.m. Because you just completely lose track of time, unfortunately. That's what happened.
Yep.
I think that's perfect, actually. I get what you mean, having a notification, you know, what just stops people, like, people are going to get used to it. It's like alarm clocks. People, if you have the same alarm clock on for a year, you're just going to get used to it, and it's not going to work, is it? So having the same notification on, it's hard to say the best way of doing it, because you don't want to annoy everybody playing your game. But you do want to make sure they're not, you know, not going for a shower or going to the toilet or stuff like that. I know it's a bit of a meme in today's culture. It used to be. But
I think multiplayer games are a lot harder because it's obviously the only way I could ever see something like that happening is they make the queues to get in just slightly longer, or they make them five minutes exactly, or they make, do you know what I mean? Where it's, you know, where it is like, you know, this is like your, I don't know, pool section. I don't know. It's something along those lines. And again, everyone will be fuming because you want to get into a game as quickly as possible. But in a year's time, would anyone actually know any different?
Yeah.
Probably not. You know, well, but
it's, yeah, I know, yeah. I know what you mean, because it's like playing, the biggest difference I can tell you from my experience, because I used to be very much into Counter-Strike going back a couple years. If I wanted to play a game of Counter-Strike, I knew a game would take me about an hour. So if I don't have an hour in hand, I'm not going to play a competitive game.
Yep.
However, if you're going to just go in a game of Battlefield or Siege, you kind of know how long they're going to take anyway, because they're set rounds for X amount of time. X amount of rounds. But if you want to just like play Call of Duty or Battlefield or whatnot, where it's you're playing game over game, there's no necessary end to it, you can easily get lost and not think about how long you've been playing it for, or how long I will be playing it for. So, you know, I think it depends on what game you're playing and what sort of aim, I guess, you're playing it for as well. If you're going in to unlock something, you're going to obviously put more time and effort into it because you want to get it. If you're just going in to play casually, you might do a couple of rounds, go on board, and then there you go, you're finished. So I think it does very much depend on what you're going in for and mentally how you're going to actually achieve it or do it for. It's like I got to a point going back a year when I was doing content creation. And I tweeted this out. I wish I did a tweet longer instead of a bunch of tweets now. Where I just started talking about how I don't play games to enjoy them as much as, or at least then, I didn't play them to enjoy them. I played them to stream them. And I kind of just got bored of that. And it was a hard time because I was like, I don't want to stop streaming, but I just don't enjoy playing these games. I am playing them for an audience and not for myself. And I think everybody gets to that point. You know, big streamers, they have to play these games, so content creators in general have to play these games for countless hours and edit them after, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get bored of that. It does happen. Fatigue, burnout, all this happens to all of us. And it's mentally knowing when that's happened, how you're going to recover from it, and make the best out of it. You know, if you can take that rest and you know, work around that burnout or find a method that will help you recover in a way where you're not losing out, that's best. But I just made that mistake where I just pushed too hard, and I just didn't want to play any more games. And I still do feel like that occasionally. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to play this game because I'm just not enjoying it.
But that's good though, because you realize now.
Yeah, I know. Where, it's annoying, but I know it, unfortunately. So it's but like what Agent Oink said, is playing games with friends has definitely brought back that enjoyment of playing games. You know, I love coming. We played Sniper Elite 4 recently, just because we thought it would be a bit of banter. And that was good fun. I don't know why, but Agent Oink has decided to play War Thunder, and that's become something.
Something,
yeah. We've done Overwatch in the past.
You're right, though. I literally, a friend of mine, I used to play loads of games with him, and he hasn't been around for a little while, and he's started to just slightly come back into a bit more gaming. And the other day, he was like, I'm just going to go and play Raft. Do you want to play Raft? And I was like, oh my God, I haven't played Raft for so long. And now, all of a sudden, I'm freaking hooked on it again.
Mm.
Like, it is just, but it's so much fun because we literally just go and have a bit of a laugh with each other. And it doesn't have to be on stream. It doesn't have to, you know, anything. And it's just a bit of fun. And I love it. And I will only play games that I want to play. Where before I would look at, you know, I'm playing this game because that's where my community is. And that's where, you know, especially when I was on Mixer.
Mm.
You know, that is, you know, I couldn't play anything else because my views would go from X to like, you know, zero to one person viewing. I couldn't change at all. And that was really hard. And then coming over to Twitch was a very similar thing, because you start like going, oh, I just need to build that community back up again. And you build it up with one game. And then as soon as you start going over to something else, and then, yeah, you get to a stage where I'm like, you know what, I don't care. I just want to play what I want to play. But then it's actually really interesting you brought this up, because Twitch has brought out that new feature. I don't know if anyone knows this.
You might have to name it, because Twitch bring out new features every other week, it seems.
That's very true.
Testing features every other week, I should add.
They I can't even remember where it is now. I can't remember where it is, but basically it tells you your, I think it's under Insights maybe.
Okay.
And it will tell you similar games that you might want to play. There you go. So it says what I've been playing, and then similar games. So I've been playing Raft, and then it says similar games you might want to play, and it will say the average viewers is 88 viewers per one channel of this certain game. And then it's, yeah. And I think it's a very good idea and a very good tool that you can look at. But I think people are going to look at this a little bit too much and go, oh my God, I need to get 88 viewers. I'm going to play this game. And then they might absolutely hate it, but they'll still play it because they're like, oh my God, I'm going to get the viewers.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. You saying that, to be honest, I thought you were, oh yeah, I've literally just seen that. Wow.
Under stream summary.
I don't know if I should really, so this is, I'm so glad you told me about this now, because my most recent game was War Thunder. And do you want to know the top three games it suggested?
Yeah. Go on.
Epic 7, which I've never heard of. No. Captain of Industry. And my personal favourite, Dinosaur Fossil Hunter.
Never heard
of these games.
Yep, there you go.
I definitely think a lot of people that are doing streaming that are at the size where it's not their main income, which is, I think a lot of people forget, the overwhelming majority of people on Twitch, and you know, it's very easy to see all the big numbers, but the reality is that most people are, you know, not using it as their main income.
Yeah.
I think so many people, it's real tough to differentiate in that mindset. And obviously you want to grow your channel, and maybe you might want to make it full time and your main income in future. But it's a real hard decision, especially early on. And do I try and grow my community around this one game, even at the detriment to my own health? Or do I immediately try and diversify, play things that I'm enjoying, even if that changes over time and I don't play this game for a year and then come back to it later? You know, which is the better option? Because one probably does, sadly, I think, because of how people consume content and how the website shows people that content will probably be more successful. But at the same time, if you get up to a certain viewer, whatever your goals are, say it's, 100 viewers with this one game, you're very locked in once you've got to that point, because those 100 viewers have grown with you for the past, however long on that game. And I think something that people forget is that even if you're potentially sacrificing viewers at some level, doing what's better for yourself, what you enjoy more, I think that's still the better option, because at the end of the day, if both options still aren't going to be your full-time income, why on earth would you ever pick something that's being effectively a detriment to your health? You're making it a chore rather than something that you initially went into because you enjoyed it.
It's
definitely tough, because like you say, people will look at those insights and they are useful, as with all insights and video numbers, they are useful, but people will also use them negatively. And it's a real tough thing to balance, I think, for some of these companies. But I think the main thing is trying to make people aware, when they're looking at them, to look at them only when they're in a positive place and they can look at them and they're, prepared to understand what they mean. And also just sort of at the end of the day, if you're enjoying yourself and you've got, somewhere, even if that's not your end goal, you're still somewhere. And the achievement of getting there is still important and significant, rather than focusing on, the potential that you could have. Which I think a lot of people obviously do in content creation. It's very hard to not end up in that sort of situation.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I think the hardest thing, especially recently, I've seen a lot of people getting partner on Twitch, which is amazing, which is absolutely brilliant. And they get partner and then they're like, right, I'm not going to play that game anymore because I actually don't like it, but it's got me to where I want to be. But then the average views, instead of it being the 75, 80 plus or whatever it was, they go down to 20 viewers, which is fine for average, but then all of a sudden they think that they're partners, so they think that they're going to get all this money, and then they don't. And then I think that's where they're going to start, people start burning out. And then, i.e. anyone that's partner, you look at them, the average stream length or minimum is 6 hours. So if you're doing a 6 hour stream and then you need to go and do a 2 hour YouTube video edit of that stream and all your shorts and all your TikToks and all, it's probably longer than that. It's probably going to be 4 hours. You're doing 10 hours a day. 10 hours a day of work. And I think it's crazy. People, and then they go and do it all again the next day, and I think the burnouts are huge.
Yeah. They absolutely are. I think, again, like you say, especially from someone, if you're consuming content, it's very easy to not realize how much time and effort goes into making it. Because to watch a stream, someone's edited down a video onto their channel, and you watch a half an hour video, which is long for modern day YouTube. I've only spent half an hour of my time watching that, but that could have been a six.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh.
Uh-oh. You saying that, I'll just carry on this, because I was literally about to say, are they back? You back?
I am. I think my internet has been having troubles this whole time, though. I've been having a little bit, but sorry about that.
Don't worry.
What I was, sort of getting at, I think, is that I'd like to see a lot more advocacy towards people that consume content and getting into that. The understanding that, for me personally, it's always been interesting because I've never consumed content from any creator for the game that they're playing. I've always been someone that gravitates more towards the individual.
Yeah.
And sadly, I do think that seems to be like in the minority. A lot of people tend to watch a streamer for the game, which has always been at odds with my own tastes, but it is a reality of it. But I think at the end of the day, there's going to be people that sort of 50-50, they might go either way. And I've been trying to advocate for everyone's health online in content creation towards people watching people for the creator, I think is a good thing. And I think even when it comes down to things like, maybe you're into FPS games more. So when you're watching your stream play an FPS game, you could put more focus on watching that stream. But if they're playing something that's not an FPS, but you still enjoy their personality, I think that's time you lurk, or you put it on the second monitor and do something else at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think sort of encouraging that sort of behavior with regards to streaming, and creators themselves trying to do their best to encourage people that they're still welcome if they're lurking and stuff like that, I think is a good thing. Because otherwise, like you say, you end up in this big thing where you've grown on one game, you get to partner, and then that drop could be demotivating. And you might not, you can't even always understand why this has happened. Yep. And the way your human brain processes things is, certainly not optimal for the reality that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, it's tough because it's hard to balance for the companies. Obviously, they're out to make a profit, and it's hard to balance for the streamers themselves. who obviously want as much engagement as possible in a sense that it's very fulfilling, but, you know, I think people definitely need to be, like you say, it's just awareness, making people aware so they can make conscious decisions about how they, you know, structure their content in a way that's best for them.
Yeah, like, yep. To kind of carry on that point of, like, I think one of the other bigger problems is the partner on Twitch is such a, you know, if you're, especially if you're a classic Twitch streamer, you've been doing it for a while, you kind of see partner as this overarching goal that you want to get. But I don't think many, unfortunately, I don't think many people realize that when you become a partner, you become, you know, you get a contract. But as far as I'm aware, your split doesn't change unless you negotiate that, which seems at the beginning very unlikely is going to actually happen. Because they need to understand, again, they need to make money. It's not like they're not making money, it's Amazon or Twitch. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're not going to make them enough money as a partner, they're not going to want to give you more. You know, they're not going to want to up that split. And you never know, they might even change it to everybody gets 50-50 for some reason. So the whole partner thing just seems like it's, if you get to it and you've done all this hard work and then it's no different, and you're just, what you've done there is it basically just made yourself more of, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically just, you're stuck on Twitch now, you can't do anything else anywhere, you can't. You're more or less a Twitch employee at that point. You know, you don't make any more money. You're doing more for them than you get out of what you're doing. It's unfortunate, but it just seems like that's the case. And to be honest, I've made the decision to stop really promoting subs because, well, for one, I never really wanted to do that in the first place. I don't think people should pay me money. But I would rather them donate through Streamlabs, Throne, or if I was to set up a Patreon, let's say, in the future or whatnot, I would rather them do that than put half of their money into Twitch and instead of me. Because the whole point of someone subbing to you is them donating to you, but what they're in theory doing is paying Twitch, which then Twitch are just paying you a smaller cut of that. Which is just an unfortunate thing. So it's nice to have stuff like, if you want to do early access videos or exclusivity, there's the word, but like exclusive stuff for your community, Twitch, you know, you got loads of integrated Discord bots and Twitch bots that allow that to happen. But then, you know, looking into it, you can do the same thing on Patreon. It's just sending someone over to a different website is a lot harder, especially as a small content creator, because nobody really wants to do that.
No one wants to go out of their, you know, their screen to go and do something.
Yes, and I think you found out the hardest possible way is moving from Mixer to Twitch, you know, moving a following from one place to another, especially after the website's gone down, is extremely hard. And unfortunately, if you're a small to medium content creator like yourself, it's brutal. I couldn't have imagined being on the platform when I was and having to deal with that. You know,
it was insane. It really was, like, totally insane. I mean, I think I jumped ship about a week before it kind of went under, but I still had my mixer was live 24 hours a day, like 7 days a week. And it was literally just had my Twitch channel name on it. That was it.
Don't blame
just
you.
Try and get everyone over. I was like, well, I'm just going to run it. But it was annoying because I was probably about a month off on Mixer becoming Mixer partner. So that was rough, or having the amount to, you know, to
apply
go
for it, yeah.
And then obviously then coming to Twitch, which was, I mean, Twitch was actually really good at the beginning, I think, because everyone jumped over, everyone was trying to help each other out, and I actually made affiliate in like the 7 days, like which was great. And then it kind of went off a little bit, then went on, and then all of a sudden, then, you know, I had to take 5 months off, and, you know, that's always rough, and then kind of coming back, and, you know, so it's, I think everyone's journeys are so different, but I think the hardest thing with Twitch, I don't see another company that can do what they're doing. Like, I think we had this conversation on the podcast, like, I think with YouTube, like, I love YouTube, I think it's brilliant, but I hate YouTube for anything live. I think it's awful.
I agree with an Agent Oink's more or less shaped my views on YouTube as a streaming platform. Is they, especially now, they're getting better. You know, they've recently just introduced gifts, gift memberships, which is wonderful. You know, what YouTube do is copy Twitch, but take the good features. But I will always agree with Adrian Oink that YouTube just has a shit chat implementation.
100%. Yep.
Like, it's just no way. It's leaps and bounds away from Twitch. And that's why I think it was you who told me that, is it Logquid, uses Twitch chat as much as possible, is trying to, like, develop an app where you can use both of them. Like, he streams on YouTube, doesn't he?
Oh, really?
He signed a YouTube deal, and basically, I presume this was negotiated in the deal, because you're talking a streamer the size of Ludwig. There's no way it wouldn't come up, I don't think. Yeah. He developed an app that sort of basically was like a its own chat system that would, like, mirror the messages in Twitch chat and in YouTube. So it was sort of like a three-way chat, and the emotes worked, and then, like, an extension that would work in YouTube chats. The emotes would work across all three chats. Oh, and wow. If you were subbed on one or a member on YouTube, you get all the emotes in the other. To try and bridge that sort of, you know, you've got the community, they're going to stick to Twitch chat. And I thought that was interesting, but also a very privileged position to have the opportunity to do that, obviously, being someone his sort of size. I mean, even to, you know, any small streamer to get their community to, you know, get onto an app alone, a third party thing would be tough. But yeah, for me, I want YouTube to be more successful in streaming, because I mean, any competition for Twitch is better. I mean, and no one is against that. But they do make some interesting decisions. And I think it's a shame, because, like, one of the problems I think we've always had with the chat is that bots on YouTube are still a huge problem. The comments on big channels are still just riddled with, you know, DM me on WhatsApp and I'll do a giveaway and all this stuff. And I think that's the reason why the chat is so lacking in features, like, is my personal belief, because I think if they expand features of chat, add DMing, add, like, the ability to properly view user profiles, to properly have all that integration that Twitch has, I think you'd end up with a huge problem, because the site isn't secure in terms of the user base. And Twitch absolutely has problems with that, with hate raids and stuff as well, but it's less a prevalent problem in chat, whereas in comments and on YouTube, it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
I watch the Overwatch League, like, every week at the moment. It's back on now, and they signed a deal with YouTube a couple years ago, and I've been streaming on YouTube since. And YouTube has some great benefits in video. The bitrate and video quality on YouTube is better than Twitch by quite a large mile, just because YouTube and Google and even Amazon aren't on the scale of Google in terms of video platform. You know, YouTube has all of these servers all around the world. They can absolutely handle video, you know, an astronomical mile better than Twitch can in theory. But I think that, like, Twitch is always going to win out in terms of those other non-video features. And I really want to see YouTube try and push to be better in that way, better in discoverability, have a better front-facing platform to people to get watching live streams. Because still, you know, when the Overwatch League is live, there is no way for me to, like, even tell that they're live, really, from my homepage. Yeah. You know, YouTube wouldn't suggest them to me, because, like, you don't want to watch a live stream, go watch this engagement content.
Yeah.
And one sort of awkward stipulation is I have to use a different account for that because of how their sort of reward system works, which is beneficial to me, because then it means the only subscription I have on that account is that one channel. And then it means it's the only thing that does get showed to me, luckily enough. Yeah. But, you know, I think there's so much more that YouTube could do. It's such a shame in some senses.
I agree.
The worst thing with YouTube, and you've spoken about this, was I was watching someone on YouTube Live, someone I follow, for the first time ever, and I noticed someone in chat, and I was like, oh, they look interesting. I went to click on their name. You can't do that. Can't click on that. Just infuriated the hell out of
me. That's weird.
Again, I think the reason you can't do that is because they know if they allowed that, all the chats would be flooded with, you're watching a live stream on Ludwig's channel, all the chat is, DM me, I'm Ludwig, you know, I'll give you a giveaway. And especially if I think Twitch's user base trends older. Both trend young, but I think Twitch's user base trends slightly older than YouTube, because YouTube's more accessible. Kids are on YouTube from a younger age, with YouTube Kids and stuff like that. A lot of people that go to Twitch end up on Twitch because of gaming, and generally you don't start gaming until you're a little bit older. So I think they've got a lot of safety concerns. So I do get why they do it, and I'm not suggesting that right now as the platform they would allow that, because I do think it would be genuinely quite bad and it would lead to a lot of problems. But at the same time, you know, they need to deal with these. I mean, so many of these channels are posting comments on, and all they've done is use this different, like, you know, not font, but different Unicode characters for someone's name. And it's like, you know, it's not a basic task. It's not a hard task, to deal with that. And they still haven't even implemented, like, a filter that prevents those comments from getting, you know, sent in chat. They haven't just, you know, blocked the words WhatsApp or giveaway in comments, you know. Even if they did that and made it so YouTubers had to leave giveaways in descriptions and stuff, I think that wouldn't even be, it would be a pretty harsh sort of fix. But, you know, there's so many annoying things with YouTube, but they don't seem to want to push development. Which I don't really understand, because for a platform their size, if they put the numbers to it, they could overtake Twitch, you know, given 5 years, if they put their mind to it. But they don't seem interested for some reason, which I'm not really sure why. But yeah,
I think they just seem content with just making the money they're making. Mm. You know, they don't actually have, realistically, they don't have to do anything at all. Like, the platform's been going for so long, and, you know, it is still the place I go to watch any footage, like anything really. Like, yeah, obviously I, you know, watch Twitch for live stuff, but anything else, it's always, oh, you know, I'll Google that and I'll go straight onto YouTube, or how do I do that, how do I put up this shelf I've just bought, oh, I'll go to, you know, YouTube, or how do I, it's always, you know, so really it's one of them things I don't think they have to, you know, for everyone, for the gaming community, it would be the most amazing thing ever if they kind of pulled their finger out and was like, do you know what, as you say, we'll take 5 years, we'll give it a massive go. I think they'd smash it, but something's stopping them, and I think it's just they're content and they just don't need to, which is a shame.
For we know, they might be, and they just don't want to do it. Twitch to die, and then they'll be like, hey, guess what we've got, and then just
I don't know how corporate controlled YouTube is, you know, how much influence like the developers and that have over the sort of, you know, corps that make the decisions. Because I know with like Twitch, when there was that hacking and they did the leak of a load of Twitch source code, they also had some financial documents, and Twitch, that confirmed that Twitch to this day still isn't profitable. It's still losing money independent. Obviously, Amazon's making plenty of money, but it, as its own subsidiary, it's still losing money. So I imagine from that perspective, trying to convince some of the upper people in Google, hey, look, we want to do this. They were looking, well, you know, why? They are making money over there. So even if we had feature parity with them, we had user-based parity with them, if subscriptions were the same, like, we still wouldn't be making money. So I think in that sense, it could be hard to convince.
Yeah.
And obviously then that's, you know, they are a company at the end of the day. For me, obviously, I'd rather they did that and were losing money, but, you know, it's hard to convince them of that. So I think, yeah, like, it is, it's tough, isn't it? Because they're sort of in that situation where at the moment they can cut back as much as possible, don't have to do as much as possible, and they're making, you know, a fairly sizable income as it is.
Yeah. Now, I've noticed, Delicious, you've been very quiet. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm glad you're still here. Would you like to ask anything, say anything on the matter?
Damn. Okay.
Sorry, I just need something. Carry on.
Yeah, that was an interesting
teaser for a game that nobody here gives a shit about.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I think that answers everything.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, someone, obviously, when I last did YouTube streaming, it was years ago now, and I guess, although as an extremely small content creator at that time, it was just like, doing it for specifically the people who I thought would watch it would be people who were already subscribed to me, and it was the people in the communities that I was doing it for. Because I was closely involved with the community, I would say, Homebrew. Mm. At this time, it probably would have been mostly, I did some DCS, but that was mainly for my own enjoyment. But the Homebrew streams, for example, I was doing for the community more than anything. So I guess my point of view sort of comes from that in that case, it was just easier for everyone, mainly myself, to be fair, just to get set up on a platform I'm already on and just get going. And I think I'm small enough that I've tried streaming on Twitch just a couple of times and it's not gone well, mainly due to internet. When I've tried to, it's very well timed, it seems. I'm too small to notice a difference when using either of them. Mm.
Personally, I think you'll get seen. Again, it all depends on the games you play, I suppose, but
yeah.
You know, I think you'll get seen a little bit more on Twitch than you would. I mean, if I went over to YouTube and I just started straight off the bat and started playing, you know, I don't know, Tarkov or something, I mean, I don't think I'd ever get seen if I didn't tell anyone when I was there. I wouldn't get seen.
Yeah, I think that YouTube has a higher high for discoverability. I think if you did something that tripped the algorithm, even if it was VOD content that you're uploading to the channel that you also live stream from, I mean, that has, you know, potential higher upper bound. But I think, like you say, at the smaller end, if someone's starting new on Twitch, Twitch doesn't have, they've got like the try and suggest people on front page, but, you know, aside from those which are very unreliable anyway,
yeah,
people can at least still go to somewhere and just see a list of streams on Twitch. You still can't even really do that on YouTube, and you could Google Escape from Tarkov streams, and I guarantee you the top 5 results would be Escape from Tarkov videos. They wouldn't be streams.
Yeah.
They'd be like VODs probably. And then a couple big channels. It's real hard to get going on YouTube, I think. I think both platforms suck for discoverability overall, to be fair, but, mm-hmm. but I definitely know what you mean. If you jump ship, I mean, how would anyone find you on YouTube? It's not, you know, yeah. unless you advertise elsewhere, you do VOD content and that happens to do well. I mean, there's yes. nothing on the platform.
Yeah. Because I tried to watch multiple times and look at live stuff on, you know, on YouTube, and yeah, I found it pretty much impossible unless I was, you know, following or subscribed to that person. Or, but then again, as you say, like even with the Overwatch stuff, it's still not going to push it to you, and you yeah. still don't know when they're live, you know. And whereas if I'm, you know, I've been watching Rainbow Six, you know, the league on Twitch, and as soon as it comes on, I literally get a notification, bash on my phone straight away, I go and watch it. Done. You know, it's really simple. Mm-hmm. But yeah, YouTube is, yeah. Which is a shame, because I still think it's an amazing platform, an absolutely amazing platform. Just not for live streaming at the moment. Yep.
Now, I do have a question for you. And that is, we briefly mentioned your camera and your beautiful mm-hmm. setup you've got. I can see is that a moonlight in the background on your shelf?
Yeah, actually it's not on, but yeah, it is a moonlight.
I wanted one of those for a couple of years back. They look beautiful.
Do you know what? I actually bought it for the little one, and to put it in his room, and then we realised that it's in his room. It needs to be total darkness for him to properly like get ready and go to sleep. So yeah, ended up here.
Fair. Oh. Now, are you also very interested in audio?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually. It's really funny you say this. I've been looking at new audio. So I've been looking at the Go XLRs and some other stuff recently for audios. Yeah.
Oh, decent. Because I just noticed you, no, we can't see this, but Agent Oink also has a pair of DT990s. Wouldn't you say they are the greatest pair of headphones you've ever worn? Wouldn't you yep. agree, Delicious?
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree.
Damn, I was trying to...
I think mine are... Oh, what do you I know have what again? You're trying to do. Oh God, Sony's. These are where the letters get confusing. I think they're the WHs as opposed to the WFs. They're the actual headphone versions, basically, of their noise cancelling line.
The wireless?
The XM4s. Yeah, wireless Bluetooth. Which I didn't really care for much at first. I used them like plugged in for years, but then I always had problems because I bought like a cheap 3.5mm cable and it would always break.
Fair.
But now I'm using Bluetooth, and honestly, it's been fine and great.
No delay.
No.
Because I saw
a couple of times it will very randomly like suddenly get a second delay, and that can be annoying. But it will normally fix itself either after a minute or a reconnect, which isn't ideal. But with how rarely it happens, it's not a problem.
Fair. But, I just thought I was going to try and out you with there's 3 of us here who have, you know, the ultimate.
No, I do. Well, whilst we're speaking about audio, I do want to try and improve my mic. I've been trying for quite a long time, as you two both know. I've brought
you
two
have.
Mics.
Do you want to give context to what mic you have?
Yeah, so I'm currently using the AT2020 USB Plus. I think it's the Plus.
What's the difference?
I don't know. It doesn't say on
it. I thought the USB was just called the Plus. I think the USB...
Oh, it might be.
And then the normal...
Because the standard one... the standard one's XLR. So I did buy myself a mixer. I got a Yamaha MG10XU. I got it off Gumtree? Not a place I'd normally recommend buying things off, but I was getting desperate.
By the way, Yamaha, the bike manufacturer? And piano manufacturer? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
What don't they make?
Yeah, true.
Well, yeah, true. It's great. So I bought a lav mic because I still want to do this. I want to be able to move around more. I love the idea of you know, I wiggle in my chair a lot. So when I sit back, you've heard it on this podcast as well. I know you will have. When I sit back, I definitely sound more distant or the quality drops off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of still want to go for lav mic. My new idea is just to take the desk clamp and just clamp it to my chair's arm, honestly, at this point. But I did try buying a couple of lav mics. The first one I bought, what was the issue with it?
Didn't work?
Yeah. That it didn't. Something weird with how it was taking the... It required phantom power. It would basically like take it fine for a second and then just start fading out. Which was a very weird problem.
Yeah.
Sent well, it somewhere to get it fixed. Yeah, sure. Why not? That's a term. That's a word. It took them many, many months to fix it. And in the end, they basically strapped a 9-volt battery to it. And it also didn't sound quite as good. So I think, I guess when they soldered something, perhaps I'd lost a bit of quality there. So that was a bit of a shame. Bought another lav mic. And this one's worked okay. I did actually get it fully calibrated a couple of weeks ago now. And I was going to go over to it. I'm trying to think. I had some problems with it sounding more muffled. The few times, it's weird, like I tried it in Audacity and it was fine. The second I joined Discord, it just became like muffled and I couldn't see why.
You realize you're making it on the outside. Got...
Yeah. But I basically, I just got frustrated and sort of gave up with it. I'm looking at it now and it's, I don't know, I want to do something.
I think you've mentioned it before, but the idea of strapping the boom arm to your chair just sounds fantastic. Yeah. The only downside would be when you get in and out.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. I'm running out of ideas. My plan long term, I kind of want to make an ultimate gaming chair where I just have like a tray that folds out with my keyboard on, maybe my mouse on. So everything would be attached already. I might probably be looking at some weird old armchair thing, which would mean I wouldn't be able to swivel or move it. I need a new desk as well if I need to do that. But...
Yep.
Actually, that kind of does bring up a good... Oh, sorry, Ken.
I was just going to say, hopefully that will fix the issue and I'll be able to... Because then I can mount a proper high quality like the... Oh, God, someone's going to have to help me here. I'm going to get it wrong. Is it the Shure SM7B?
Yes,
is that
correct.
The... Yay, wonderful. I want that, ideally. That sounds pretty good to me. If I could just put that on my chair, that would be...
You know a mic's good when it hasn't changed for 40, 50 years. It's more or less the exact same since it's been made. That actually kind of makes... That brings up a good question I just thought about. Is there any dream item, be it for streaming or just for personal use, you would love to get in your setup?
Mm. Was that directed at me? Sorry, was it?
No, I guess all of you.
Anyone?
Yeah, anyone.
Anyone call for you? Good, less pressure on me.
And I know five already off the top of my head.
Exactly, that's the problem. I could just...
I mean, yeah, there's so many things in theory. I need a new mic. On the topic of audio, I have actually got a full Go XLR, which I'm very lucky to have.
New mics.
But I'm using it with a mic that's worth about, I don't know, maybe $40 that I got in a package deal like 10 years ago. Because I've just never, you know, it sounds fine enough for doing speaking with my friends. And it's like, is it really justifiable to spend, you know, the money on it when this is working? So I've sort of just been waiting for it to break and it just seems to keep going. So I'm sort of in that boat regard. So I guess for me, a new mic, but I wouldn't be able to name one. It just, I don't know specifically.
Would you go for a Shure?
I mean, I've considered the Shure, but it's so expensive. It's like £360, I think it is. And then you probably, like, even with a Go XLR, I probably want a bit more of an amp. So I want, like, the Cloud Lift is what most people go for. And then that's another like, £150, £200. Like, you know, and it's just like, I mean, I could get a mic for less than that still sounds decent. Maybe not quite as good, but it still sounds like, it's, you know, it's hard to justify spending money on audio at times.
I've been looking on eBay. You guys know I love to find deals on things. Right. I don't think I brought anything full price in my setup, thankfully. And man, even then, I'm just, and the Shure mics hold their value so well, even secondhand, it would seem.
Yeah, like you can still buy one from the 70s for about £200. It's ridiculous. But then again, it's just the top line of quality, you know. You can't
It's not just the top line, it's the name. Yeah. Not even just the short brand, that specific mic has got a legacy around it. It's so well known.
If I'm not wrong, there's another Shure mic, which is the generic sort of like 60s silver, like Elvis mic is the way I would describe it. The very distinct... I think that's a Shure mic, and they still go for a fair amount, because that was, again, it's just... It's an iconic mic, and it has like a very retro. I think if I'm not wrong, people like it because it has a very radio sound to it, warm, fuzzy radio sound to it, which people.
Oh, you're thinking of the 55SH, maybe.
Probably 55SH.
The old school, the old school.
Yes.
Yeah, like rhythm and blues type. It is a shocker, mic with a harmonica type of vibe.
Yes. Yeah, because that has a very warm radio. Mm-hmm. People still love them. You know, they go for silly amounts.
I love seeing
streamers with them. It's just funny.
I think for me, like mic-wise, I mean, my audio has been up and down for like ever, and it's one of the. I'm the same. I don't want to spend money on it. Like, I'd love to, but there's other things that I kind of would want. Like, this works, you know. This is just a, you know, a Blue Yeti Pro, like, so it's fine, but then I would love to go crazy and, you know, do all the other stuff. I mean, I personally, stuff that I would like at the moment is probably more regards to like another Stream Deck, but for editing. So as in a
like
real
a loop
kind
deck?
Of touch. Kind of, yeah. Sort of. So there's, I saw one the other day and I can't remember what it was called now. It had like a massive touch screen on it. It
Is it
had
the
loads
Media
of other
one?
Kind of stuff. I don't know, maybe.
Because I've seen a couple, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Can't even think now. But yeah, so something like that would be really handy. Go XLR. I need a new monitor. My second monitor is 100%. Well, it takes like 5 to 10 minutes to warm
if
up.
You get a chance, is it that?
Let's have a look. So my second monitor dies. It takes time to warm up, which is crazy. It's not that, but I did see that.
Okay.
But the only issue with this one, I've heard loads of reviews and they're not brilliant.
No, yeah.
Which is kind of really frustrating. Because this would have been really handy. Something along those lines would be amazing. Second monitor, because mine, as I say, takes 10 minutes. Like, it's a black screen for 10 minutes. I have to keep turning it on and off until it decides it wants to come on. So I'm looking at a main monitor, and then my main monitor will then be my second monitor.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Probably the new stuff at the moment. So,
funny you say that. I just upgraded my main monitor yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my second one just fucked. I went for an MSI Optics 27. Mm-hmm. 3G, where they're fine. Let me find the actual name. But it's a 27-inch 1440p, 165 hertz. Decent price, I think it's like £250. I wanted to move to 1440 hertz. I'm not gonna lie, mainly for YouTube, because I want to upload higher, or the bit rate for 1080p on YouTube, not that's a bit, but the quality for fast-paced games on YouTube is shockingly bad when you watch any 1080p video, especially I've noticed on my ones. So I thought I'll just upgrade to 1440p. I can record at that, and then, you know, that's a good excuse to upgrade to a nice monitor. And it's been fantastic.
As in the curves one, is it?
No, it's a flat one. I don't know if I could go for a curved. I feel like it'd be a case of I'd have to have it in person, see it in person before I make that decision to go to curved. Because I've heard some people like them, some people don't. It's personal preference, isn't it? It is the MSI Optics G27 3QF.
Got half the alphabet in that one.
Yeah.
That's honestly the problem with monitors nowadays.
What are you running now? / Do you have any idea what you want to upgrade your main monitor to?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of very similar to you. I want to go for something. I mean, my main monitor at the moment is 165 hertz, which is great. But I've been looking at kind of getting something with maybe G-Sync. But the issue is, G-Sync doesn't actually work with anything properly yet. Like, they say it does,
yeah,
but then it's like loads, when you look at the reviews, it's like, well, it kind of does and it doesn't, and I'm just like, do I hold off or do I actually just get one? Like, you know, because I like the monitor that you've looked, what you've got is something that I've looked at a lot.
Yeah, it's G-Sync compatible. It works out the box. Yes. From what I've read. I've never tried any G-Sync games.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, see, something like that would be great. I was really tempted to go curved, and I'm not sure. Again, I've heard similar things. People hate it or they love it and that type of thing. So, yeah, sometimes it's better to go with what you know.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, it's like my biggest difference. I went from a 24 to 27 inch, and I didn't realize how much of a difference that actually is. So that's pretty pog. And now I've kind of got into Delicious's sort of vibe of, I kind of want a 32 inch now. I'm not gonna get
a
32
inch. I want bigger than 32 inch, but I still want bigger than 32.
I kind of want.
I don't think
bigger.
I could game on it. I don't think I could game on 30, because I looked at 32 and I just, again, the reviews are kind of like, because I'm actually quite close to my monitors. Mm. And I think if especially for streaming wise, if I was there watching and playing a game a little bit further away and, you know, chilling out, I think a 32 inch would be amazing. But yeah, for streaming and kind of sitting this close with all my lights and all fair. That, I don't think it would be. Yeah, not. It's a shame because I think I'd want to, but yeah.
Could you? Would you?
I'm just very much too close.
Would you prefer QHD or 4K?
Probably QHD.
Fair. Are you running QHD at the moment or just HD?
Just HD.
Okay. I would recommend QHD if you can. Obviously, price is a huge thing.
Yeah.
You can get some good QHD monitors for £200, even sub £200. I think Agent Oink's running, at least from my, when I was checking the brand you're running, you can get, I think, sub £200 quite easily QHD 27 inch. Obviously, you're going to be lacking hertz rates at that point. I can't remember specifically in my research what sort of, if you're looking for 144 or anything around that number, I genuinely can't remember. But you can get some really good ones. It's more preference. I was so close to getting another BenQ because I've been running BenQ for most of my life. The monitor I upgraded from was the first monitor I ever got. It's 6 years old. So given that to my girlfriend and she can suffer with that now. the colour was completely off on it. Yellows were shockingly bad. Yeah.
And that's so, like my second monitor is horrendous. It's like it's a Samson. It's an old Samson one that my dad had, and I was like, I'll just take it just because you're gonna throw it away. I'll have it as my second monitor. And it's fine. But the colors again, like looking from both, especially like, because I also as well, I have it on its side, so I have one vertical. So my second monitor is vertical. Just again, so. Like color wise when I'm doing stuff, if I'm doing stuff over two monitors, like it's crazy, like actually crazy.
Something I'm looking forward to finally having a nice monitor with good colors is like yourself, I do some graphic work, logo work, and that caused some issue recently. As I was doing logos for someone and they're like, I want it this color, and I'm like, this is the color but it was my monitor just being fucky.
Do you know what I did exactly the same, and basically what someone sent me a picture. And I color dropped the picture, like exactly the same, literally took it off the picture.
Yeah.
And I sent it to them and they were like, no, it's the wrong color. And I'm like, okay, fine. What do you want? And they're like, a bit more gold or a bit more. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
You know? It just happens. Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. Yeah, everybody's screen, be it on their phone or whatnot, it's going to be slightly different. You know, everybody's got different standards.
I mean, you never know if the person you're sending it to has got a great color accuracy.
Yeah.
Or phone, especially phones can have like quite varying degrees in color. And I know a lot of phones have got like saturation increasing, like turned on the things by default out of the box and stuff like that. It's tough. Color's hard. Everyone's seeing color differently just because the monitors are displaying it differently. Really. Yep.
Definitely. That's why when I used to do screen printing years ago, we used to use Pantone colors and that was it. So everyone is in exactly the same. You get like a Pantone color and that is the color. There is no variant. There's no anything. That is the color you're getting and that's it. Job done.
Decent. Now, I do have a quick question I was meaning to ask earlier. I'll put it in the way I'm going to word it, but I don't mean it in any rude way. Is that an overpriced light in the background?
An overpriced, a Lifex, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's an overpriced.
Lifex are all right.
They're actually one of the, for me.
They're cheaper. I'm
from the Elgato guy here as well. Like,
what do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Oh yeah, five times the cost.
For what?
Elgato.
Yeah, I've got one of their capture cards and a Stream Deck, which you guys bought for me.
That is true.
True. You will concede. That is very true. Just like call you an Elgato guy.
Yeah, the light definitely. Yeah, it's amazing though. I'm not gonna, and I've got a Philips Hue as well. They're the two main lights that I run. There is loads of other lights that I kind of want to get. It's the money, isn't it? As always, I want to do Philips Hue out in my garden as well. I'd like the whole setup, as in, because all my lights are smart lights, even downstairs. Mm. Like, you know, it's just easy. Just it's that thing, isn't it? I'm lazy. I'm like, you know,
my dad
Google, Amazon, turn this light on, and you know, it's just done. You know, it's simple.
He's got some of those LEDs, and he just loves playing around with them. It's just amusing seeing my dad just happily just play around on his phone with the lights.
They are nice though. I mean, like,
they,
you
really
know,
are
expensive, but like you say, in the garden, I imagine that'd be lovely. You know, having that.
Ambience, up lighters, you know, all that type of stuff. It does, like on your decking, things like that. It would just look stunning.
Well, I've always wanted Nanoleaf, but my God, are they expensive?
I wouldn't do Nanoleaf. I really wouldn't.
Well, I'd probably go like if Lifex have one. I know Govee do.
The issue with Govee, and I'm not going to slate them.
Good, because I have all of my lights in my room are Govee at the moment.
The issue is I use LumiaStream. So LumiaStream, basically, whenever I get any kind of bits, subs, alerts, whatever, I can have flashing lights. So my whole lights will flash. Everything will go crazy. Govee recently turned around and said that they're not supporting Lumia. And it's because they don't want to send data that quick or something like that. So obviously Lumia kind of, you know, if someone did like someone sent a message and they changed the lights to pink and then 2 seconds later they wanted to change the green, like that can happen. But with Govee they won't let that happen anymore, so then they're like no. So I'm guessing they're going to bring out their own app, but then it's sad because then it would just be Govee, and because mine, as I say, Lumia works with all my lights, you know, all different brands.
Yeah, helped a friend out with he just bought some like very generic dimmable double white like RGB strips.
Yep.
And we wanted to set up that, and they came with like, I can't remember what brand they were specifically. It was one of the mass produced, you know, different brands slapped on it a million times.
Yeah.
Controller boxes, and we were using a software called OpenHAB, a bit similar. There's also Home Assistant, I think. Mm-hmm. And you can use both of those to integrate them all into one. But my God, some different brands are horrible to get integrated into that. And then you can go and flash the controller yourself if you're willing to solder up to the circuit board and put your own firmware on it. And it's like, you know, it becomes such a task sometimes, I think, with lighting. And it's like, is it worth spending that little bit extra? I don't think you have to go to the top end, but just sometimes getting something that at least works, like you say, with whatever software you want to use it with is such a benefit from the get-go.
I massively agree. The only issue is with some of them, like my Philips Hue, I really like. I just don't think it's bright enough, and it's tiny for the price. I think it was like £80 or something for a light that's 30 centimeters long, and it's not really all that. And where LifeX, I think, they're brilliant. I think I love the fact, the same with like obviously Govee and Nano Leaves, that you can just keep connecting it.
Mm.
Can put another connector on it and just keep connecting it and going in different directions, and yeah, it's quite cool.
Decent. I have to look into LifeX again. Mm-hmm. I remember them. They were cheaper, but they weren't, you know, they're still not
so
cheap.
So I think that may have been 170 maybe.
170 maybe. For that light?
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Pretty. But again, that was the missus. The missus.
Oh, so you can't blame me.
And she was supposed to put that was supposed to go in the little one's room as well, and then again that came in here.
Noticing a pattern start to fall.
Yeah,
I know, right? Exactly.
Do you just like hint, like, you know, we should get this for the little one, and then you just get it in your room, and in the end,
100%. Yeah,
the graphics card just by the bed. This... appreciate it. You know.
That's a Lego kit. We should get this. You know, he's only one.
We should get the Death Star, you know, and she just put it in the back corner. You know, it'd be fine.
Brilliant. It's a good idea.
But then it's annoying because on the back shelf, I've got loads of old like retro games and that, and he comes in, totters in and throws them all off the shelf, and I'm like, oh my God.
So don't put any valuable items.
I know, on the bottom shelves. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
He hasn't found all my old Pokemon cards yet, so that's that's a good thing.
Got any good ones?
Only a matter of time.
I'm not sure. Some okay ones. Okay. Not brilliant. Yeah, some okay ones. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think we should start wrapping this up a bit. Any last things anybody would like to mention or we'll quickly talk about? Good. This is not a meeting. You don't have to, you know, stay silent.
Final notes.
I don't know. It's been an absolute pleasure today. Thank you very much for coming on.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for inviting us. It's it's nice to sit on the other side.
Yeah, no, I said the same thing to you when I went on yours. Yeah, it's weird being not having to ask questions, even though I don't tend to. I have these two for that. But no, what we normally do at the end is we ask if you've got anything you want to promote or shout out, and then we'll call it a night.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, promote wise, 100% is the podcast for me. So it's called The Health Bar, Mental Health Within Gaming. As Charles said, it's literally on YouTube and Spotify. The episodes are going out on Spotify. But every Sunday, 1 p.m. on Twitch and YouTube, they go out. So that's every week at the moment. Not this Sunday, the following Sunday. I don't even know the date. It's going to be the 12th. We have a really big partner Tarkov streamer coming on to the podcast to talk about his mental health, which is going to be wicked.
Because this is not going out until 2 weeks from now. You'll go to subs next week or this Sunday, and then it'll be everybody. Yeah. That's okay. Do you want to let us know who that might be? Do you want to say a name up there? Just promote it a little bit?
Yeah, I've got Torky coming on.
Ooh.
So if you watch Escape from Tarkov I've watched Torky for a long time, and it's one of them people that, again, I watch him because of obviously Tarkov, but now I'll watch him play anything. I don't really care because he is just a super funny, nice guy. And yeah, I'll just, again, you know, watch him in the background, have it on, like the whole thing. And so, I sent a message out to him and a couple of other people, and yeah, I've come back, and he's come back, and he's like, yeah, when do you want to do it? And I was like, okay, that weekend. He's like, yeah, fine.
That's mental.
It's bit amazing. Of a fanboy kind of moment, which is pretty cool. I've got some other people that are coming on, hopefully, in the future. One who is basically going to hit 1 million subs on YouTube. He's coming on, I think, in about 2-3 months' time, just because he's crazy busy at the moment. So that's exciting as well. The thing is, this is it. Just to promote that podcast, because I just want people to talk. I really do. I want people to open up and talk about it. And, you know, people aren't alone anymore. And definitely you just need to look after your mental health and talk about it. And that's kind of the main thing. If you want to come and watch my really bad Twitch gameplay on Escape from Tarkov or anything like that, then obviously, yeah, of course, come along to that. But yeah, apart from that, yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's been good fun.
Absolute pleasure. Genuinely, thank you very much for taking your time out of your day and coming over.
No worries.
As mentioned at the beginning, we'll put all your links down there because, yeah, I highly recommend everybody go and give the podcast a listen. If you've got Spotify, listen to, you know, on the train, on the bus, if you're at work, you're allowed to, whatnot, give it a listen.
It's exactly.
Genuinely a good joy. But no, thank you very much. And what about Agent Oinkandelicious? You want to shout out anything?
No, I'm good. They get my shout outs every week. We gotta, you know, give it to the guest.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I don't think we can top that, honestly. Especially that podcast. I really do think that is worth a check out. It's been awesome having you on as well.
Yeah, it's been good to chat.
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? I think, like, again, these type of podcasts, I think I love them because you can just chat about everything and anything, and I love how exciting it is and how the direction of which it goes. I think it's brilliant. So yeah, I do appreciate yeah, you guys having me on, it's been great.
Thank you very much. And yeah, that was this episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And yeah, that's the outro, I guess. It's always high quality outros.
Very high quality.
Always alcohol.